To the kids and young people, can I say it's great to have you with us and to see many of you this evening. And we're going to spend some time now just reading the Bible again together and thinking upon it. And so it's good for us all to be part of that together and just to concentrate now for the next, I promise, about 30 minutes and just to think through this whole subject of discipleship, what it means to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to be thinking about, discipleship, what it means to love and follow Jesus. Prayer as we read God's word is really, really important because it continually reminds us that we are utterly dependent on God to give us understanding of what we're about to think and about to read in his word. So let's pray one more time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that each one of us is here this evening, right from the smallest person to the oldest. And Father, we pray now that as we read your word, which you tell us is living and active, because you, Lord, are over this whole world, and by your Spirit are present with us now, that as we read this word, you would take it to our hearts, that we would have ears to hear, and we would have hearts that would obey. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing this series, Marks of a Healthy Church. The book title is there to my right. Sadly, we've run out of the books. I'm sorry about that, but you can get it at a good price on Amazon. And last week in his introduction, Mark Detzler, sitting just down by here, gave an overview in the introduction to his talk, his sermon. He gave an overview of the marks that we've looked at to this point. So on the web is a great thing, and if you want just to be reminded of where we've got to, you kind of want a little bit of a reminder of the marks that we've looked at, just log on to the website and listen to Mark. This is the whole sermon, it was really good, but you could listen to the introduction and you'll just get a summary of the marks so far. This week we're looking at discipleship. And we've given the hallmark of discipleship the title, A People Who Grow. Growth in the Christian life is really, really important. It's foundational to what it means to be the people of God. And when we talk about growth, we aren't talking numbers, like the numbers of people in this room, although that is important. We want to see lots of people come to know Jesus, but we're talking maturity, growing up in our faith, in our love, in our hope. Here's a memory text for this evening. It's from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It'll come up on the PowerPoint, and this should be a great verse to learn together. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That's a great summary, I think, of discipleship. Christ Jesus is Lord. All who've received that, just look at those words, all who've received Jesus Christ as Lord are to continue to live in him. And then look at the little pictures that Paul uses. Rooted, so there's that downward roots, that kind of a tree that go down and more love Jesus and know what it means to follow him, rooted and built up. So there's that growth, there's that establishing in the faith, rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. That's what we are called as disciples, to evidence, to show in our lives. So this subject of a people who grow, of discipleship, is all about Jesus. That's the first little strap line I want you to get hold of in your head. This subject of a people who grow, of discipleship, is all about Jesus. And we know we're right because as we read our Bibles, we discover that the word disciple is used an awful lot in the Gospels and Acts to describe someone who follows Jesus. That word disciple just means to learn. To learn. And in the time of the Lord Jesus, people would attach themselves to teachers
and they would walk and listen to them, and the teacher would instruct and tutor them, and that individual, as they followed that teacher around, would learn from them. You could see how influential that teaching role was, how it kind of established for someone a worldview, what it means to live, how we are to act, how we are to speak. And the Bible teaches us that the triune God, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, the creator of all that is seen and that is unseen, has stepped into history. The person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And the purpose of Jesus, God, coming into history, the purpose of his incarnation, that means his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection, is for us to know and love and follow God. This is how Jesus put it after his resurrection, before he returned to the Father. Matthew chapter 28. So if you have got Bibles, you could flip back to that. Because this is a topical sermon series, we do a bit of Bible flipping. So if you've got Bibles, Matthew chapter 28, which is on page 1000, okay, and you could turn to the person next to you if they haven't got a Bible and just share with them. Matthew 28, 1000, we're thinking about discipleship, learning from God, what it means to know God, to love him, to follow him. And look what we read here in verse 18 on page 1001. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." There is Jesus the teacher. We are his disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God desires us to be discipled by him, which means learning about him, loving him, obeying him more and more. And that discipling, that following, happens through Jesus. The life of discipleship, of following and learning in the things of God, happens through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is fundamental to get our minds around. The basis of our discipleship, this is really important this evening, the basis of our discipleship is our union with Christ. That posh word, there it is, union with, posh phrase, union with. It just means knowing and loving and obeying and worshipping Jesus. So, here's the first point. The life of discipleship is based on the person of Jesus. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. So discipleship means, in the very first place, what does it mean to be a disciple? It means in the very first place, receiving, trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Have a look at this picture. By nature, all of us are born living for ourselves. So we actually want to do what we want to do in life. Do you see that arrow? It just points to ourselves. We're kind of our own teachers. We decide how we're going to live. We decide what is right and wrong. We look at the world and we're in school and we're with our friends and we're in the workplace and we're with our family and we're making our priorities and we decide how we're going to live. Now, when you look at the school that you're in and you look at the workplace that you're part of and your neighborhood and you watch TV, you look at our world, kind of what marks out of 10 would you give us for this kind of life? I'd want to suggest to you this evening that we give ourselves nothing out of 10. We just look at the state of this world and the state of ourselves and the state of our hearts and the way that we live and the way that we act, the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we look at. No, that's an absolute disaster. The Bible calls that sin. It's folly. We're fools for living for ourselves, for deciding what we want to do. But Jesus, God's Son, came to this earth. He lived a perfect life and he died on a cross. and rose again 3 days later. And he said, I am God. Follow me, because on the cross I dealt with that sin. I took God's judgment for that sin on myself. I have defeated death. That's what Jesus says. He says this in Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And so the life of the disciple sees that, sees what Jesus has done, hears the call, and trusts in Jesus Christ. Says, Jesus is now the person who I am going to love and who I am going to obey. He is now the Lord of my life. I trust in him that's saving me for all the things that I've done wrong, and I am following him now as Lord of my life. That picture there is a really good picture for the long Bible word, repentance. Whenever you see that long word in the Bible, repentance, or the short word, repent, that's a really good picture. Stopping living for self. Turning around, seeing what Christ has done, seeking forgiveness in his work on the cross, and following him. Repentance. Stopping what you're doing, turning around, and in forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, following Christ. Now that means, okay, that the life of discipleship, the life of following Jesus, okay, involves personal allegiance and exclusive loyalty to Jesus Christ. That's the next little phrase. A bit wordy, I'm sorry. All right? Oh, no, let's go back a moment. All right? So the life of discipleship involves personal allegiance and exclusive loyalty to Jesus. Listen to this. This is Luke chapter 14, verse 25. So Luke chapter 14, scoot a few pages on. Luke 14, verse 25, it's on page 1048 of these church Bibles. And when Jesus talks then about what it means to follow him, he puts it in these words. He says this, Luke 14, 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus is using really extreme language there. We know, because Jesus says elsewhere, that we're meant to love our mums and dads. That we're meant to actually love and treasure what it means to be husband and wife. But here he's simply showing us, right, that Jesus is first in our lives. The life of discipleship, it means Jesus is absolutely first. He is preeminent. Everything and everyone else comes under the lordship of Jesus. Total, period. In other words, everything that we do and everything that we are, we submit to Jesus, who is King of our lives. Now, that also is really important to get our heads around. Because have a look at this, okay? Look at this first. If you imagine that that's life, okay? Do you see how when we live a life of rebellion, we live with ourselves at the center of our lives? There's some of the things that we do in our lives. We've kind of got rest and family and work and friends. I just put some things there. But you see, we are in control of our lives. We are first. We are the people in charge. The Bible calls that rebellion. But there is also another way to live, other than the way of following Jesus, and it's this one. In this situation, look, we're still at the center of our lives. Oh, really, we are. But what we've done is we've just tacked in this Jesus bit, okay? So we've got friends, and we've got play, and family, but also we've just tacked in Jesus. So we come along on a Sunday and we might sing some songs and we might, you know, talk to some friends in this building, yellowish building called Kensington. And I don't know, we might even get involved in some stuff in the week. We might be in a small group or in the youth group. We might go to a CU in school. But in reality, ultimately, the person who is still calling the shots and making the decisions and actually running life is yourself.
And the Bible calls that religion. Here it comes. Religion. That's where we're just still living our way. Now we're just trying to do it in a good way. Now we're just trying to do it in a way that makes us feel better, that kind of looks prim and proper. We've kind of tacked this Jesus bit in, but we're still the ones in control. The life of discipleship, however, has Jesus at the center of our lives. Everything that we do, all that we are, we submit to Jesus and his rule and his word. We are his disciple. How we run our families, how we love our wives, how we conduct those family times together around God's word, how we rest, the way that we work, the way that we relate with our work colleagues, the things that we speak about, the things that we laugh at, the way that we play, our friendships, all come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is discipleship. It's the only way to receive salvation. You can't have Jesus as your Savior, you know, oh, I pray for forgiveness for that wrong thing I've just done, and not have him as your Lord. Impossible. With Jesus as Savior and Lord of life is the way that we live as the disciple. And it's a relationship. It's a living, personal, dynamic relationship. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the one who's at the center of our lives. And he wants us to grow more and more into his likeness and to grow more and more in our understanding of what it means to follow him. So if discipleship is about union with Christ in the first place, and I hope you've seen that clearly, Jesus at the center of your life, thanking him for what he's done on the cross, trusting that through that we're forgiven of our sins, following him as Lord of life, if union with Christ is the basis, then we are to grow in Christ as we live in and for him. In other words, the way that we began our Christian lives, following Jesus as Savior and Lord, is the way on in the Christian life. So, hear the word of the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Earlier in the service, we read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. That's on page 1175. And Anthony read out these words to us. We haven't got time to read them all, but we read this. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Or, and we haven't got time to look at it, so just listen to me read it. Check me up on it when you go home. 1 Peter 2 verse 2, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. We are, as we follow Christ, as his disciples, we are to grow up in Jesus. And the Bible talks about that dynamic growth, that kind of building, that growing in Jesus, in terms of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, who lives in us. As we trust in Jesus, he comes and lives in us by his Spirit. And one of the, if not the principal way that the Spirit works in our lives to grow us more into the likeness of Jesus is through the Word of God. When it comes to discipleship and knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, being united to him by faith, when it comes to growing up in Jesus, the Word of God, the Bible, is absolutely essential. Paul, speaking to Timothy in his second letter,
chapter 3, verse 16 says these words, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." It is the authoritative word of God that by the Spirit's power teaches us more of God and his ways, more of the grand themes of God's character, his holiness, his faithfulness, his love, his sovereignty. It is the word of God that deals with our continuing sin and that rebukes and corrects us and that trains us to live as God calls us to live. That is why the faithful, expositional, verse by verse, so that we understand the meaning of the passage, the faithful, expositional preaching of the word of God is primary at Kensington Baptist Church. It is the word of God that makes the disciple and instructs the disciple. Or to put it another way, it is the word through the Spirit that unites us to Christ and that grows us in his likeness. So, the life of the disciple should place huge emphasis on the Word of God. We should seriously prioritize times in God's Word. It is the lifeblood of knowing and loving Jesus Christ. And the Lord knows how much I have prayed this week for all of us, for each one of you, that God's Word as we follow Jesus would be central to our lives and central to our marriages, husband and wife. And central to our families as we gather together and read the Word of God. And central to our lives together. And central to our friendships. If you're single here tonight and you've heard the marriage word and the kids word, you're single, in your friendships, God's Word would be central to your friendships in Jesus Christ. You will not meet a follower of Jesus who is growing in maturity, in their knowledge and grace of Christ, who is putting sin to death and living by the Spirit and witnessing to a watching world, who does not love God's Word and who does not love reading it and praying over it and meditating on it. And as Mark and Steve encouraged me just a couple of weeks ago, memorizing it. Memorizing God's Word so that we're able to think and feed on it. And conversely, I have met often followers of Jesus who are struggling and wayward and thinking of jacking it all in, who are nowhere with God's Word. So the life of discipleship, of growing in Christ, is word-based and prayer-breathed and gospel-shaped. Because the Bible is about Jesus, because all the promises of God are yes in Jesus, when we read it, we're going to hear more about all that God has done for us in Jesus. And the glories of the cross. And the wonderful hope of the resurrection. And the promise of Jesus' second coming to end history and to make a new heavens and a new earth. So when we read God's Word, it'll be the gospel that thrills us and transforms us day by day. But it is also, discipleship is not only in Christ Jesus, is not only word-shaped and gospel-focused, it is also church-focused. And when I say church, I don't mean this building, right? The walls that we see now, these kind of yellow walls. The New Testament never uses church to mean building. I'm using church in its biblical sense, the people of God. Church is us, is the people of God. Everyone who's trusted and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that discipleship is a corporate activity. We're not meant to follow Jesus and read the Bible and pray and seek to live for him on our own in glorious isolation. We weren't made for that. God has made us in his likeness. The triune God relates Father, Son, and Spirit, and we were made to know God and to know each other. And so discipleship takes place in community. It's why Mark's sermon last week on membership was so important. It's why next week, when Steve preaches on the crucial mark of discipline, We'll see how we are to lovingly look out and urge and correct one another as we seek to faithfully follow Christ. We, as a body of God's people, are meant to speak God's word into each other's lives, gospeling one another, caring for one another. This is how Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says these words on page 1184. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. We are to regularly be with each other on Sundays in small groups, prayer partners or triplets or prayer squares, serving together, encouraging one another. As the writer of the Hebrews says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. We don't encourage each other to quiet times, to daily reading God's word, or to, into small groups. And each one of us should absolutely be in a small group, or kind of accountability partnerships. We don't encourage those things because it's the thing to do, or because it'll look better on the church program, it'll make us feel better. We do so because together we grow up in our salvation. We grow in Christ as part of his body. This type of togetherness, speaking God's word into each other's lives, isn't only my responsibility or the responsibility of the elders, though it is that, it's the responsibility of us all. In this great book, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, at this point in the chapter on discipleship, Mark Dever suggests some questions that it would be good for brothers and sisters in Christ to ask each other. And here they are. I put them on the screen. As we meet together, in what particular way have you grown in your understanding of the Christian life since we last met? In what particular way have you grown in your practice of the Christian life since we last met? In what particular way do you feel that you need instruction? What are you trying to get your head around? What would you like to know more of God and his ways? In what particular way are you disappointed in your pursuit of holiness? How specifically can I pray for you? I'd want to suggest that talking to each other like that would actually be quite a culture change for us. But here's the thing. We know that. We've heard plenty of preachers say this kind of thing to us. It's actually been quite common in 21st century conservative evangelical pulpits to kind of say that kind of thing to each other. It's good application. It's strong application. You know, at the end of the service, rather than talking about clothes and what you've seen on TV and the kids and football, ask someone that you know and love dearly in the Lord Jesus one of those questions. The problem is actually doing it. So the life of discipleship, of growing in Christ, is word-based, it's prayer-breathed, has gospel at the center. And it's a membership, it's a corporate activity thing where we rebuke and encourage one another. A family which learns and hears from one another as we speak God's word into each other's lives. And this community, this life of discipleship will then be a witnessing one. We are called by Jesus to be salt and light in the world, not least in the face of those who oppose us. The Apostle Paul commands disciples of Jesus to live lives worthy of the gospel and to contend for the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says this, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you." Paul knows that anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He knows that. Will be ridiculed. Will find it a fearful thing. Will find the world oppressing. Will find the world challenging them. Knowing Jesus means that we understand that everyone who has ever lived lives with an eternal destiny before them, a hell to shun or a heaven to gain. The Bible promises that all of us who live witnessing to Jesus Christ as the people of God will encounter opposition. But with gladness and with joy, they continue to faithfully live for their Lord and Savior as faithful disciples of His. The Father heart of God is a heart for mission. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to seek and save the lost. And the Spirit works to make these truths known to us. Small wonder that a maturing, growing in Jesus congregation of believers will seek to make Jesus known. So discipleship for the Christian is someone who loves God's word, who grows in Christ as part of his family, their family, and who witnesses to Christ to a watching world. So finally, as I finish, hear this final point. As we think about being united to Christ and growing in Christ, I've called it united we grow and apart we die. Here's another way of saying everything we've said to this point. It's John chapter 15, verse 5. This would be a good one to turn to once more. John chapter 15, verse 5. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says these words. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. In other words, you'll pray and ask for the things that Jesus desires, that Jesus wants. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We are called as disciples of Jesus to remain in him and to grow up in him, bearing much fruit. Now listen, as we finish, and as you've sat there and listened so well, it's important to remind ourselves that we're not perfect, okay? Our life of discipleship will have ups and downs. There will be times of failure, real failure. Times where not only do we seem to be not growing, but if you're anything like me, you feel that you're backsliding, that you're going backwards. We still sin. But even as we acknowledge that, still in our hearts, as we examine ourselves, we find that our heart's desire and aim is to love Jesus, is to follow him, is to grow up in our love and service of him. At times that might look small and feeble, but that is our heart's desire. Because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We are nothing. As I finish, do you remember the aniseed ball sweets and sherbet dips? This might be dating me slightly now, but I used to eat both of those a lot as a kid. It probably explains quite a bit. But I think unhealthy discipleship can often be like those sweets. An unhealthy church, when it comes to discipleship, can live a kind of aniseed ball discipleship. Life is kind of small-minded, it's cold, it's hard, it does you no lasting good, it's almost impossible to chew, you feel like you're going to crack your teeth on it, it makes your breath smell funny, your tongue go a different colour. It's kind of rules and regulations, aniseed, tough, what you must and mustn't do to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus seems strangely absent. On the other hand, is kind of the sherbet dip discipleship. This is the kind of fluffy, puffy, fizzy experience. You kind of do what you want, really. Kind of full of momentary highs. Kind of like its aniseed counterpart. It lacks anything substantial and life-giving. It makes you feel great for a while. It even makes your eyes water. A kind of funny feeling. But an hour later, you just feel hungry again. It's all experience and emotions discipleship. Fizzy and fleeting. Soberingly, when everything is said and done, when you've left that time and you're living life again, you just think Jesus was strangely absent. Or there's the bread of life discipleship. This is wholesome satisfying, lasting, feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we grow up in Him. Where we love His Word. Where we talk to Him in response to His Word. Where we meet with His people and are encouraged to follow Christ by them. And encourage others to follow Jesus too. Where we step out from this place and tomorrow we think, I am a disciple of Jesus. Here to love that individual. Here to pray for them. Here to hope that I might see them come to know Jesus for themselves too. This is bread of life discipleship, where we are satisfied and fed and kept as we trust and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. A mark of a healthy church is discipleship, our union with Christ, our growth in Him. And as we hear these sermons, as we kind of hear these exhortations each week, may we be prayerfully examining ourselves and the life of our church and discerning what God is doing amongst us. And may God in His grace grow us up in Christ to the praise of His glory. Let's pray together. At the end of another Sunday, and having for many of us heard two portions of God's word this morning from Nehemiah, this evening, as we thought about discipleship, let's just take a moment now in the quietness, in these final few minutes of our service, just to speak to God. Father, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.